Jim Washburn was an ex-college coach. He'll get on his motorcycle and drive from coast to coast. And if he sees anybody that looks like a big, explosive pass rusher, he'll pull over and work him out.
It's John Gruden's This Guy Challenge. At some point, will John manage to refer to a coach or player as this guy, or come up with stats and completely lie?
If I had a body like that, I'd be at the beach every day.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're on Twitch every morning. What is Twitch? Well, you can visit twitch.tv and search Sports Hub to watch the show live. Also, get the Twitch app at your friendly app store. All right, John Gruden, no longer in the booth, much like the hiring of Mike Mayock.
You're right about that. You know, it's funny. I didn't even put two and two together. I saw the Mayock news, and then you're right. That is, of course, the genius that is running the Raiders just going, I want the guy that's on TV in front of me.
And then let's not even have a negotiation. Let's just throw as much money as possible. You know Gruden during that, because it's like 10 years, some ridiculous amount of money.
10 years, $100 million.
You know that he sat down and then Mark Davis would be, all right, here's something I'm going to do. 10 years, $100 million, take it or leave it. And Gruden's like, okay. I'll take that. You drive a hard bargain there, Mark.
You thought
I'm
going to
make you the most rich guy in all of sports.
And so they are, okay, they're one of the five teams?
Yes.
That can be
in Hard
Knocks.
I was reading this morning. You know, I forget all the rules now.
Okay, here we go. Here they are. Because you're right. You if you make the playoffs, you don't have to do it. If you are have a first-time head coach, you don't have to do it. So the Lions... Oh, that would be kind of funny. Seeing Patricia behind the scenes lose his mind.
Not as much as Gruden. Well, Gruden's, and Mayock.
Gruden's number one. I mean, that's without a doubt, it's number one. The Raiders, the Giants. I don't really care about that one. The 49ers might be interesting because of Garoppolo, and the Redskins because it's such a cluster F, and you know they'd hate it.
That would be second on my list because I'd love to see how Dan Snyder operates day to day. I really would.
Our new offensive coordinator is Gilligan.
Well, why would you pick Gilligan? You mean from Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, Gilligan.
Why would he be a good OC?
Yucks.
Because he brings the yucks.
Maybe assistant offensive coordinator, and then skipper is the main one.
Mark Davis.
He just looks at TV and goes, I like that guy.
Give me more Cheetos.
Whatever happened to the kid from Blue's Clues? He looked like he was able to run an offensive line.
Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc? Could you ever see him on TV or just his voice?
I just like his voice.
Okay, his voice of Bugs Bunny, I believe.
He could make me crack up.
He could. All right, so John Gruden is you know, the great thing about John Gruden is that he's going to be around for a long time, and accidentally they may end up having a good season, which would be the greatest thing ever, because John Gruden, when he's happy, it can't be beaten, because his happy place is on a football field. It just has happened to be this year that the team has sucked, and a lot of it because of him.
All right, did you see the play where the Cooks stopped running? I believe Cooks.
For the Rams?
No, Cooks for...
Brandon Cooks?
Not Brandon Cooks. Lockhart. Jared Cook.
Tight end.
So okay. Jared Cook, tight end, just stopped running, and there was an interception. Well, Gruden is on the sidelines, and he's talking to Carr. And Carr's got this huge grin on his face, and he just gives him the thumbs up.
Oh, dude, there is a lot of that in this.
Okay.
Like, there's this weird, creepy, Nick Foles-esque bromance that he's got between him and...
Oh, I took that as a very big F-U from Carr to him.
No, it's a weird, like, I'm going to abuse you, then I'm going to tell you I'm going to love you. And then I'm going to abuse you, I'm going to tell you I'm going to love you.
Oh, you realize he's dismantling that team.
Oh, sure.
So the whole point of it is to dismantle it and put him back together. So, I mean... He's going, we got a 10-year plan.
We're looking to be a wild card team in about 9 years.
Did you hear that they might play in Europe? Like, that might be their home. Like, hope that there's now people. Was it Tottenham? Is that the name of the field or the city?
Tottenham Hotspurs, where they play? Tottenham?
Like, you know how they may not have a home field next year because they're being sued?
Yeah.
One of the places that is vying to get them to play their home games there is in England.
I've always wanted to see the pyramids.
I mean, knowing Mark Davis, I can just see him going all in on that.
Remember they were going to move Oakland and he took like a helicopter ride around San Antonio for the hell of it?
Is that where Willy Wonka's chocolate factory is?
God.
If you want to see something that's absolutely real, the city of San Antonio took him out to like wine and dine him. And you have to report all of that.
Yeah, you put him in a helicopter. And he just hovered over the city.
They gave him a helicopter ride. The menu with the stuff that he ordered was fantastic. All right, so here we go.
So here is John Gruden, and this is, once again, this is a win. So he is extremely happy. It's against the Denver Broncos. And here he is on the sidelines.
Let's go Raiders on three. 1, 2, 3. Let's go get this. Let's get this game. Let's get this game. Let's go now. You fire the first shot. Let's go, man. Let's go. Sprout left exit, Richard Nixon. Hey, Tom, you like rock and roll? Let's go Led Zeppelin.
I missed him so much.
When was the last time you heard the term rock and roll?
Do you like rock and or roll? I'll give you both.
Do you like rock and roll? Do you like rhythm and blues music?
You like rock and roll? Let's go Led Zeppelin.
He does this thing with his eyebrows. Do you like rock and roll? Like, here we go. And
then Jim Mercer pumps him and says, will you
say? Hey, man. Somebody say roll.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Hey, Tom, you like rock and roll? Let's go Led Zeppelin.
Keenum loads it up. Tim Patrick, the big receiver, comes down with it, gets up, nods into the Raider bench.
Shut the up.
Was that someone taunting the sideline?
Yeah, I think it was Tim Patrick comes down with the ball, and he goes to the sidelines and yells at John Gruden, goes, oh! And of course, John goes, shut the F up.
Yeah, fools.
Put you in the cage with the rest of them.
Foles is a free agent. Don't mind if I do.
Foles is going to get paid, by the way.
Yeah, you would assume so.
Dwayne Harris, touchdown, Raiders.
Hey, can you believe that? Y'all want to smart something? Man, great play. That's the way to start the game, huh?
Right, we'll start with the lead.
Yeah, we'll take that. It's first time all year, I think. You like this?
Yeah.
I don't want you to hold it and take a shot. And
get if it's not there, Coach, I'll throw it away.
Throw it away. I do not want a sack. This will make it a three-possession
game. Hardest guy to sack in the league.
Love you, man.
All right, let's count the number of times he says "I love you" to Derek Carr, and each one's awkward. Like, I'm talking awkward, like fist dabs, awkward patting on the asses, awkward arms around each other.
I love you. Come on. Don't. Hey, I didn't mean anything bad. I'm a passionate guy. I just love you. Oh, Carr, you'll get it later. Yeah, look at you.
Puts the football in the basket or gets the hose again.
I tell you what, if you take a sack, I'm going to brand you.
Brand him? What is Gruden's brand?
It's just JG.
It's just the JG?
Yeah, look at you. You're branded. You're mine. You ever see Oz? When Beecher gets branded by the Nazi fella.
So this is like a prison situation. He has Derek Carr.
It could be anything.
That's what all like the petting of the hair is.
Look at you. You're all sweet. I'm going to take care of you. What do you want, a loan? That's how you do it in prison. You sweet talk a guy. You get him to owe you money.
Love you, man. Love you. Take care of the ball. You're doing great stuff.
I will. Yes, sir.
Hey, let's play tonight. Let's play. G-Money Christmas. Time's the game start. It's an illegal pick. That's PI, man. Hey, what's illegal contact?
What are you watching here?
Ah, for crying out loud. What kind of spot is that? What the f*** are you looking at? It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Hey, can I talk to somebody? God almighty. Hey, how the f*** is this guy going?
What's that?
That's three calls he's missed. Who is this guy? You guys gonna give me a call tonight or not?
That hit the ground as clear as day.
Review upstairs, remember.
Okay.
Get up there and hang. Reclose upstairs.
Got it.
Thank you. Yeah, sick I am, idiot.
What did he say? He goes, we're going to go check upstairs because we're going to take a look. He goes, yeah, all right. He goes, what do you think I am, an idiot? Just mumbles under his breath.
What do you think I am, an idiot? I'm a damn mastermind.
Is he the only person like over under the age of like 90 who uses the term Jiminy Christmas?
I have a feeling that he knew he there was times he realized he was mic'd up and then he would forget and then he would realize again.
Right. Like when he knew he was mic'd up. With,
hey, Tom, you like rock and roll?
that's what he knew. He was definitely mic'd up.
Yeah, you know, I love Parcells. I take some things from him. I love Jersey Rock.
Doug Martin dashes in.
You are one hell of a back, baby. I love you. Great job. Hey, hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Doug.
Hey, now put this Santa Claus hat on it. Throw these gifts into the stands.
They whip you like a reindeer. Ho, 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 car.
Ho, 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 I can fly. You ever taken PCP? Thought you were the damn Santa Claus? Ended up in the top of a tree once. These are the bucket of jelly beans. Yeah, I thought I was Santa.
Let's keep it going. Let's throw some more bricks on the pile. Let's go. Let's keep laying bricks, man. Keep laying bricks.
Touchdown Raiders.
Yeah. Where's the pictures? Jeff! Can I see this? Where's the first play? Hey, how's 4 seconds run off? Hey, Mark, how we get 4 seconds of run off here? Mark, how's 4 seconds run off? Find out about the clock operator. Kind of a dumbass is that? Come on, hustle off. Let's go. I need you.
Come on, you I'm, like, I'm wondering why the players aren't responding to this. It doesn't sound like it would be exhausting at all.
No, I know.
Where's the clock operator? Oh, I love you. All right, hey. I love you. Easy back there. Trying to talk to the official.
Hey, clock operator.
Hey, Tom, you like rock and roll?
You like rock and roll?
I mean, listen, this guy's on 3-4 time.
Come on, you're going to win this game for me. Come on now. This is what you live for. It's going to be a no-huddle offense. You're just a kid. Close the door. Come on. Come on. Monday Night Football.
That wasn't even at the game.
It was just him sitting at home?
No, that's him in the car.
Close the door! You're just a kid. John opens the doors.
This could be the last play of the game for Denver. Fires deep right side. Intercepted.
Let's go beat Kansas City's ass.
And the celebration is beginning with the...
I believe that's...
Yippee-ki-yay, Father Mucker.
Merry effing Christmas. Oh, you know, just as the Savior wanted it.
Black hole just inside the end zone.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Let's go, man. Santa Claus is coming. Bring it up. I'm really proud of you, and I appreciate the effort. Believe me, the effort... All right? The concentration, the details were there tonight. It gives us something to really build on. We have one opportunity left, and it's against the team that we hate the most. All right? They don't like us either, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Merry Christmas. All right? God bless y'all. Let's pray.
I'm getting blown out. Don't worry. We'll lose by an awful lot.
We're going to get absolutely decimated.
That's right. You need to go into Kansas City and just get embarrassed.
Let's just play dead.
You're not very good.
Jiminy Christmas.
Khalil Mack's a joke.
All right, so Mr. Mike Gorman is going to join us. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
Jiminy Christmas.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Danny at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We are still efforting on Mr. Mike Gorman. A big team meeting last week.
Which worked for a game.
Yeah.
You know, worked for a game. And I've stopped worrying about the Celtics. I just think that they're a team that when they want to play hard, they'll play hard.
But that's,
and
that's,
when they don't want to, they don't want to. And I think they're good enough to beat any team in the East, whether they can do it seven games against a team like Toronto is going to be tough. However, I just have stopped worrying about it. I've seen enough of them against good teams where they feel like they want to play hard that they do. I wish they didn't have that quality where they take their foot off the gas, but they do. You know what it kind of reminds me of? Do you remember the 2010 Celtics? How like they looked awful at the end of the season.
We had Scal on the entire year that year, and Scalabrine said, look, it may not look good right now, but this team's built for the playoffs. And maybe that's the case here, but in the interim, what you see is maddening.
Yeah.
I mean, they had that 38-point quarter against Memphis, and then San Antonio dropping 46 on them in the third quarter on New Year's Eve.
Isn't that like the worst quarter 46 in the
points
NBA
in a quarter
year?
Against that team, which prides itself on defense?
Yeah.
I don't care if Aaron Baines is in there or not. And it, by the way, it makes a difference when he's in there defensively, but no one should allow 46 points in a quarter.
Well, I read something yesterday that not only Jaylen Brown, but Tatum's defensive sabermetrics or whatever they are down.
Tatum's been pretty good lately. But like even defensively, he's been pretty good.
What I read is that that Brown's down everywhere and Tatum's down in terms of his defense.
Brown was very good offensively on New Year's Eve, best he's been all season. But ultimately, this team, and I remember we were talking about this and I was saying, okay, wait till Christmas. I mean, they're six games over 500 at Christmas, and they're on pace for about a 45-win season, which is a long way.
Which is less than the 63 that I thought.
Well, actually, it was 70 before I bargained you down.
Obviously, being sarcastic.
See, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure you were being sarcastic.
Yeah, maybe I wasn't.
I don't think you were. So, I mean, this team right now is in fifth place in the East. And I think it's 2.5 games on either side of them. Maybe they get a home court in the first round. Maybe they get their way up to third, but I think at this point, we're about halfway through the season, you pretty much are what you are.
I just don't even think that home court matters in the East. I mean, what team does home court matter to? Toronto?
Well,
no.
There are some big concerns. Defensive lapses on this team are a big concern.
Sure.
Al Horford's knee is a big concern.
That's legit.
And honestly, I look at, you know, the inconsistency on the offensive end of the floor with a lot of these guys, and especially Gordon Hayward, who I think got blanked in 20-plus minutes on New Year's Eve. I mean, there's definitely something wrong there. He should be out of this by now. We've seen flashes. I mean, it's not injury, and he's had plenty of time to mentally overcome this injury. There's something else going on here that scares me a little bit, because if they're going to go where I think they should go, they need Gordon Hayward playing well, and he's not. He's nowhere close.
You know who's become the second most important member of this team is Marcus Morris.
Yes.
Like Marcus Morris.
He's been we've said it all along. He is the most consistent player this team has had from game one to now.
He could be an all-star. Like, he's playing at a level that makes you think that he might get some votes.
Maybe, but I don't. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely going to get a massive contract.
Yes. This is a contract year, and by the way, I don't think that's a coincidence.
which is kind of a shock.
No. He's going to get paid. It's not going to be by the Celtics, by the way.
By the way, finally, Fred, he and his brother admitted that they used to do the old switcheroo. Because, I mean, if you know the Morris brothers, remember how when the Celtics were playing the Sixers two seasons ago, right? It was in the playoffs. It wasn't last year. It was the year before. And, because Marcus was on the team. They were saying that one of the brothers might have switched out because, remember, Markieff had injured his ankle, and all of a sudden, miraculously, he came back the next game.
That was phenomenal. That was seven games against Washington.
That's right. And remember, there was like a theory as to whether or not they switched places because they even got the exact same tattoos.
But they didn't admit that specific thing.
No, they didn't. But remember how that people were speculating that.
Yes.
Because it was a miracle all of a sudden that he came back from that injury.
Out of the locker room, it said that he was done for the series.
Yep. And then all of a sudden he comes back and has like probably the best game
the
in the series
game.
After that.
Yes.
But they did admit that they used to take the other one's tests when the other one didn't study.
Oh, of course. Like, you have like, to do that.
That's like that. That's easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to take advantage of it somehow.
But if that's what you admit to, what other stuff did they do the old switcheroo on?
Well, I don't know. It'd be unethical in some scenarios.
Could be.
Criminal in others.
But this team, I'm going to stop worrying about them because the minute you start to try to, they're just losing to bad teams. and they're beating, if not being extremely competitive against very good teams.
The lack of focus over short bursts of time
that sucks.
Is really amazing.
It sucks, and they probably won't win a championship like with that mentality. But they'll more than likely, I think, they'll definitely make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm confident in that. To the finals, that'll be tough. And I wish they didn't have it, but you just reminds me of the 2010. But at least the 2010 Boston Celtics earned that right to do that because they had won a championship and they had a bunch of veterans who had been there before. I just think that Kyrie's doing everything he can to get these guys out of that funk, and not even funk, but just that attitude that you're playing down to your opponent. And I believe that when they have the right mindset going into a game, they can throttle almost anybody. So I'm not too freaked out about it. I wish it wasn't this way, but that's the way it is.
Do they have enough experience like that 2010 team had to be able to just turn it on?
I mean,
when they need to?
There's not as much as the 2010 team, but they do have decent veteran leaders in guys like Al Horford, in guys like Kyrie Irving, who's definitely been there. By the way, speaking of Kyrie Irving, this clip is one of my favorite of the week. There's some stupid show that apparently LeBron James is doing. Is it like an ESPN online that you have to pay for some sort of service to get it?
Oh, it's called like Barbershop.
No, it's I know the one you're talking about. I don't think this is the same thing.
Okay. Details, is that what it's called?
Man, I don't know what it is.
Kobe was doing something like
this.
Oh,
more than an athlete.
Okay.
And it's basically LeBron James talking about how awesome he is.
All right.
And people will apparently pay and subscribe to watch LeBron James talk about how amazing he is. This is from an episode that aired last week.
I was super, super ecstatic to win one for Cleveland because of the 52-year drought. Like, I was ecstatic. Like, obviously, I showed the first wave of emotion was when everyone saw me crying. Like, that was all for 52 years of everything in sports going on in Cleveland. And then after I stopped, I was like, that one right there made you the greatest player of all time.
Okay. All right. So,
why would you even say that?
Why would those words come out of your mouth? B, you won because of Kyrie. Don't forget about that. Kyrie is the reason you have that ring when you beat the Warriors. On top of that, if I'm not mistaken, Draymond Green was out two games in that series.
Yeah.
Now, it was his fault. He was kneeing people in the nuts.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, listen, I mean, you get
back
it while you can.
Back in the late 80s, that would have been considered not even a technical.
So he thinks that the moment he became the greatest was when they beat the Warriors. And by the way, he also had Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, who I'll say once again, won him that ring. But that's the time he became the greatest. Not Michael Jordan, who, what is he, 5-0? Six and oh in finals? 6-0 in finals.
Yes. Plus he had to leave the league because of the alleged gambling and go play baseball and embarrass himself.
LeBron James is intolerable. And listen, you can appreciate his talent, but that dude is a douche. Do you remember when...
Do you know that school he opened to is like...
I'm not going to knock that. That's amazing what he did.
No, but it's not.
You know, he gave as much as you possibly can, like with it still being able to be like a charity. There's something that makes him look bad, but it's not. He literally did everything he could until there's a certain threshold where you're not allowed to give anymore and it not be like some sort of like funded tax thing or something like that. But
it is funded by tax now.
Not all of it. Like, he gave basically everything you can possibly as an individual give. What he did was amazing.
You know what makes it even worse? The whole thing even worse is that there have been ample opportunities for him to shed that douche label. There have been a lot of opportunities. Trump has painted him in a terrible light. I mean, Trump made him a sympathetic figure for a while. You know, what television?
How about going back to Cleveland made him a sympathetic figure?
What political commentator made him look bad or said, shut up and keep dribbling.
Oh, Laura Ingraham.
Yeah, I mean, she made him look good. There have been a lot of chances for him to step away from that image and portray himself in a better light, and he can't help himself. It's amazing.
He did a thing the other day. There was a video of him that made it onto the internet talking to his son after his son, like, lost a game, and he put his arm around him, and it was just like, hey, man, listen, did you play your hardest? Did you do your best? It was a great clip. However, you know how that video got out there? He retweeted it and talked about what a great dad he was on his tweet. Like, what are you doing? Like, if this was something that somebody happened, a moment he happened to capture, you'd be like, that's pretty cool, man. All right, he's just being a good dad. But no one wants to hear anyone say, look at how great a dad I am.
Well, he also puts up rap lyrics because he's super cool.
Well, I mean, that was just being dumb.
No, but he puts up rap lyrics in general. He's being dumb. Like, I don't know.
Jim Irsay dumb? He puts up the Counting Crows lyrics.
If you give up, if you give it to Jim Irsay for putting up lyrics, that's another one.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Hey, Jerry, it's his birthday.
Hey, you fired up?
I am fired up, as a matter of fact.
Let's all eat 50 wings.
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
He's talking to the wings right then.
All I keep hearing about.
No, he's looking at a bag of pills.
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
Look at you two and alls. All they keep telling me is to crush you and sniff you.
All right. We will be back. No Gorman. That is very, very...
He might have thought we were not back yet.
No, he was confirmed by Dan.
Huh?
Hmm. So we will talk about the wonderful ending of the Ravens Cleveland game.
And I have something. I have something for Fred too, involving that. I have something for Fred involving all of that. That's going to make his day.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear about that. People sending me, "Oh, he had the most touchdowns as a rookie." Okay, good, fantastic for Baker Mayfield. I'm telling you.
Okay,
I do want to hear what you have for me from Baker Mayfield, because I was watching that game and I just went, Baker, just blowing it. All right, we'll be back here. The headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Brady has Devlin to his left. The aforementioned there set. One of three wides right. Brady takes the snap. He's going to lob it to the end zone right for Burton. On the money. Touchdown, Patriots.
Tom Brady's best throw of the month of December right there to Rex Burkhead.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and it was a drama-filled end of the 4 o'clock games going on Sunday. You had the Pittsburgh Steelers without Antonio Brown, who they said was injured, but it turned out he's just a prick.
He got in a screaming match apparently on Wednesday at one of the practices with Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger says, "I don't know what anyone's talking about." Well, I mean, he didn't play, and they're saying it's because he didn't show up. I think Thursday he showed up for a minute, wasn't there Friday, didn't go to, wasn't there on Saturday, and then all of a sudden showed up wanting to play on Sunday, and his teammates are saying that it was, quote, embarrassing. And now he apparently has requested a trade.
Right.
There's conflicting reports.
Well, he's not demanding a trade. Yeah. They're saying that he has requested a trade. But
pardon me, sir, if it would by any chance cross your mind at some point, a trade might be something that should be considered when it comes to the value of my place here on this sports team.
So you had the Pittsburgh Steelers who win their game, and they're all standing on the field or sitting on the field, and no one at Heinz Field is left.
I've never been a bigger Ravens fan than that moment. That was awesome. Just watching them stand there and go, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
Well, if you talk to Jay and Shaughnessy, he thinks the Raiders are the only team that could beat
the Ravens. Yeah.
All right, so here comes Cleveland. They have plenty of time. They're driving down the field. And the young undersized hero.
I was feeling pretty dangerous.
The guy was feeling pretty dangerous.
He was feeling pretty
dangerous
that day. He's running him down, and then
I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Whoops-a-daisy, bad interception, and the Cleveland, Ravens are making the Super Bowl, are making the playoffs, and Pittsburgh Steelers are going home. Really, due to the arm of Baker Mayfield.
However,
Mayfield in crunch time, not a young John Elway.
Now, listen, you and I have had our debates
everyone has their debates. Everyone thinks I'm wrong, and I don't care.
No. Okay, our first debate was he a douchebag?
Is entirely true.
And I have come a little bit more around to what you're saying.
Shirtless.
Yes, he is a douchebag. However,
Rolls Royce and a tiger.
Yeah, it's as douchey as it gets. And some of the stupid stuff he says is as douchey as it gets. That being said, you need villainous douchebags in the NFL. And I like the fact that this kid is a maniac. Like, as far as he's got the people in Cleveland actually believing that they can win, he's saying all the right things. He's fun to watch. I mean, the guy makes big plays.
Rex Ryan got everyone in New York to believe they
could
win. Great,
but how fun was the Rex Ryan era?
All right.
Like, how much fun was it to have him as a villain? It was awesome.
For 2 years, he did all right.
Back-to-back AFC Championship games, right?
You bet, but that was so much fun to hate that team.
Sanchez was a lot of fun.
Sanchez. But having Baker Mayfield being a douchebag and being as good as he is, the one thing you can't deny is that he is good.
This year, I can't deny that he played well on occasion this
year. He played extremely well for a rookie.
On occasion.
Well, I mean, on occasion, he holds the record for the most touchdowns. You said it before. In touchdowns, passes thrown
just
as a rookie
the
quarterback.
Top 10 in the NFL in touchdown passes this
year. Yeah, but that was a
Didn't play the first two games.
That was a 1-15 Colts team that Manning had the old record
Dude, he's
for.
Playing for a team that got, what, 3 wins in the last 2 years?
One win in the last two years.
Which, Hugh Jackson is a coach. Hugh Jackson is a coach and has more talent than the other. We'll all agree that Cleveland has more talent than Buffalo, the Jets, or Arizona.
I mean,
they certainly do.
Okay.
And those are the other rookie quarterbacks.
However, he's the one putting up the stats. I mean, he's got Landry's receiver, and
except
then who
for,
else
except for obviously the Ravens with LeBron Jackson. So go ahead.
So, I mean, but he's the one padding the stats. He's got, obviously, Landry as a receiver who's dynamic, and he's been very good.
Nick Chubb is a good rookie running back.
And Nick Chubb is a good rookie running back.
Yep.
However, you did not know at the beginning of the season what Nick Chubb was going to be, and he didn't even play them. But all these stats are, by the way, with him not even playing the first two games of the season.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's
27
that's
touchdowns
impressive.
And 14 interceptions as a rookie, regardless of who he's throwing the ball to.
But you don't
to.
Think
it's
he's
good.
Going to turn into anything good.
No, I think that he's going to be figured out like so many other players in football are.
But most
so
of those guys get figured out are like the run option guys. Like, I mean, I know you've been talking about.
He likes to use his legs.
But he's got a great arm.
It's not the
that's
same.
The thing.
It's not the same as Lamar Jackson.
It's not the same as Lamar Jackson, but he's someone who can be figured out. You give him a year of film against the guy.
Right.
The guy,
I think people will figure out Lamar Jackson before they figure out Baker Mayfield.
Of course, because Lamar Jackson just keeps the ball.
Right.
And Josh Allen has the inability to throw the ball.
he runs because he can't, after his first read, he has to run.
Right.
Right.
So, yes, I Baker Mayfield is a one-trick pony. You'll tell stories that, I saw Baker Mayfield and, the legend of Baker Mayfield and how he was around. And Cleveland got all excited, and the next thing you know, he was crapping himself.
You see, all they need is an offensive genius to be the coach. Once you get Josh McDaniels there.
Yes.
And, you know what? Here's a perfect scenario. Josh McDaniels goes there, makes a superstar out of Baker Mayfield. We get Jim Bob Cooter, who has apparently been kicked
fired.
Out of
He's done.
He's done.
He's done in Detroit.
You get the Coots here, getting Tom Brady to sling it as if it was like 10 years ago once again, and boom.
McDaniels.
Everybody wins.
In seriousness, Baker Mayfield's a young Tom Brady. There's no question about it. McDaniels will fail. In Cleveland, just
maybe
like
not a young Tom Brady, but a young Aaron Rodgers. I'll give you that.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady.
Maybe. What do you have to say about the end of the season, Baker?
You know, obviously, we would like to win. We'd like to have won the game, and there's no question about that. But it's about finding the positives. You know, seeing, like you said, positive. Playoff atmosphere. Learning from that on how to handle it, how to take care of the ball early on. Not let them jump out in front. Just got to put yourself in position late in the game like that to be able to win.
Well, you didn't really do that, but
you put yourself in position to throw an interception that ended the season.
But if you're a Cleveland fan, how could you be in the least? Like, you are covering yourself in peanut butter right now. I mean, this is more than you would have ever dreamed out of one season.
They didn't make the playoffs.
7-8-1 for a team that won one game combined the last 2 years?
Right.
And now they're happy with the season.
Now you know who's responsible. It was Hugh Jackson. That was who was responsible.
You know what? Here's a good question. This is from Ben Millett, who works here. He said, if you had to play for one team starting tomorrow, who are you playing for? The Steelers or the Browns?
Steelers.
Man, I don't know, man. That's such a messy organization right now, and what's happening there.
It depends on who the new head coach of the Browns is.
Well, you know who the head coach of the Steelers is, and you know how he doesn't seem to have control
of
anything.
That's the comparison
there.
I want to make. Now, the ownership is, that's a polar opposite.
Then just give me the top three candidates, then. Let's just pick one of the three. Josh McDaniels, what's his name from the guy from the Green Bay, Mike McCarthy, or Brian Flores.
Why not Lincoln Riley? Who coached Mayfield in Oklahoma?
Okay, or Lincoln Riley.
He does.
Who would you rather play
going
for?
Out. You know who everyone wants now is the offensive coordinator from Tampa.
Cutter? No, not Cutter. He not was the Cutter. Head coach.
No, the offensive coordinator for Tampa.
Oh, Todd. It's like Todd Monken or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big name.
I don't know why
big
you would want that.
because he made Ryan Fitzpatrick a stud.
He was on that list. Remember the ESPN thing I was telling you about? He was on that list. He was in the bottom five of those 10 that were listed.
Okay. Well,
Caldwell's going to get a gig.
There's so many openings. I mean, God bless the fan base that gets Jim Caldwell. You'll be better than you were, but you'll never be great.
And by the way, Riley did sign a contract extension with Oklahoma, but that won't mean anything.
He said he's not leaving. I don't think the coach of Northeast or Northwestern's leaving either. I believe they both aren't. But there was little Baker Mayfield. He got everyone all excited. Oh, look at Baker. He's going to go down. Hey. And then, whoop.
He's a rookie. They make mistakes.
No, apparently not. I mean, apparently not. Baker's the man. I can't wait.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Yeah, he was feeling pretty dangerous. You want to win, but, you know, sometimes you got to throw a game-ending interception.
Who has a better year next year, Baker Mayfield or Sammy D?
Oh, you're asking him that?
It depends what the Jets do in free agency. I mean, they have Anua, they have Anderson, they don't have a running back.
They have more money to spend than anybody else.
They have $100 million.
Let's say they get one stud receiver.
I don't think they're going to get a receiver.
I think you would. If you're the Jets, you spend as much money as you can on a good offensive line to keep this kid upright.
They want to pass. Yeah, that's what they need, is they need a left tackle and they need a center.
Yeah.
And they need a
pass
rusher.
Spend $40 million apiece on a rock left tackle and a rock center.
They want Le'Veon Bell, which I'm not wild about. And the reason they want Le'Veon Bell is not even, it's just to protect Sam Darnold. But if I was a coach, I'd take the Jets, unless I couldn't handle the media, because you have an opportunity to...
Well, I don't think the Jets is an awful decision over the Browns. The Browns still have the worst... No matter what you say, with all that talent, they still have some of the worst ownership in all sports.
No, they have the worst ownership in all of football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was, in all of sports, I was kind of putting Dolan in there.
It was.
Well,
you still gotta slide
not
in
all of football. Whip. There's a man by the name of Mark Davis who could argue.
Well, at least everyone's getting paid there and having a good time.
Yeah, I'm bringing to the table, let's see. You're 10 years, $100 million, your move, Gruden.
Team money, restless.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that. Sweet. I'm a master negotiator. Just give him everything. How about a big chunk of the team? All right. We will be back. We'll be joined in studio by Billy Jaffe, who got in very late last night.
The old Winter Classic.
Mm-hmm. The old Winter Classic, and we'll talk to him.
All right, Fred, tell me you saw this last night. Did you watch any of the Sugar Bowl, by any chance?
No.
UGA, University?
No.
Okay. What is the name of the mascot for the University of Cincinnati? Is it Bevo? Is that his name? Bevo, the gigantic-ass bull that they've got there that they bring out in the field? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was a moment during the game yesterday where they tried to have a photo op between Uga, the Georgia Bulldog, and Bevo, the bull. Here's what happened.
Uga, he does not know where to go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is like a man walking on the moon. Never before.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
Bevo.
Oh,
can live television get better than that? No, maybe that was not the best idea, but we don't care.
Can we get a replay on that?
Can we get a replay?
I've seen a lot of things.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Was awesome.
By the way, they're joking. So what happened was Bevo the Longhorn is in like a pen, and they bring Uga the Bulldog over there, and there's a group of like photographers and people all around. As soon as Bevo sees this bulldog, it loses its crap and tramples this fence that was holding him in the pen.
Yeah, they're throwing a fit.
Fred, there is a woman who is standing right in front of the fence where he goes, and she gets knocked about 15 feet. Boom! There is a horn, one of those gigantic-ass longhorns, that almost gets stuck right into the back of this female photographer's head. Like, it could have. What's the word when something gets stuck through your body? Not decapitated,
pierced.
Not pierced. It's when you
impaled.
Impaled. It could have impaled this woman like through the throat. It was right there, and she just moved. It was one of the more potentially violent moments on TV that could have ended so disastrously. And that poor dog lost its crap and ran in the other direction.
To quote Always Sunny in Philadelphia, did you see the game in Dallas where Dallas went all over, went crazy all over America's ass and released a damn bald eagle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it landed. Okay, here's a different angle, Fred. So there's the dog. They're going to cute bulldog. All these photographers are there. And Bevo goes, hell no. Yeah. And just there's like photographers getting knocked over everywhere.
Those things, bulls just, they throw fits.
Yes.
That's all they do. But can you imagine if you were at that game? Did you see this, Wallach? The eagle was flying around.
Yes, and, I did see this.
And it landed
on... It got confused.
It landed on two people's shoulders.
I know the feeling.
Can you imagine... I saw you there perched up on a seat. Can you imagine the sheer panic? Have you ever been in a house where, like, a bird flew in?
Yes.
And it's, like, the scariest thing in the world?
If I'm in the crowd, I am constantly looking around. Seriously.
But I'm serious. Like, when a small bird, like, gets in your house, and it's, like, the most frightening thing for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, if you thought about it in your head, you go, why is this scary? Mm-hmm. But it's so... You're like, ah! Can you imagine a big-ass bald eagle?
I don't care how many fans are with me or nearby. I am constantly looking for that eagle, man. If it's zipping around the stadium.
Save that.
Yeah.
If that eagle lands on me.
It's clawing your eyes out.
I have no problem hurting it. If it lands on me, get the hell off of me.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those situations where you don't know what that thing's going to do. It's a wild animal. You don't know what's going to do.
Well, they they go grab things from the sky and eat them.
So he said putting a red sweater on a bulldog and introducing it to a bull was not brilliant. It's a great
point. Yeah.
I mean, and he comes walking with a cute dog's like, oh, what's happening here? And all of a sudden, this big ass bull just bursts through these barriers and knocks over all these people.
I don't understand why. I mean, that's crazy, but I don't understand why you would release an eagle. Indoors.
Because you have a guy there whose whole purpose in life is to be a falconer. And to have the thing that you put on his arm and, oh, I can tame the falcon.
But it's like, hey, America, here's a bald eagle. No, get the bald eagle out of here.
Isn't it, like, illegal to own a bald eagle?
Oh, I'm sure.
Aren't they, like, endangered?
I thought they were endangered.
Yeah, I don't think you can just own one.
Well, the guy had one. It was a bald eagle, and it was flying all around like nobody's business. All right. Like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's let this wild-ass, big-ass animal out indoors with 100,000 people there. What could possibly go wrong? If that thing, and then that takes, like, you know, kangaroo-sized craps, too. You know that. And it's all scared and confused.
I can imagine it picking up a toddler and just flying.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
It picks up crap with its talons.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Billy Jaffe's in studio. We will talk to him. There'll be no commercials here, just headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.